Detta är kassett nummer 3, det är sida nummer 1 och det är fortsättning på intervju med Conrad Ragnell, Minneapolis, Iowa. Och det är idag den 26 april 1985, kassett 3, sida 1.
He took me around there for the first week, a few days, and we talked things over. And just one thing, he asked me the way I knew and things like that, and what he evidently thought it was all right, see. And he took me and introduced me to the guys that were making the starter there. And I was out in the loading dock, where they loaded out, you know, the butter there, and how they handled it in the car. And how they cut it up in pounds. And all around, see. So I got acquainted with the place, you know, the butter makers, everything, you know, in there, because I knew how to make butter before. But anyway, how they were doing it, see, and how they were handling it. And I had to brush up on my numbers to see on my thermometer, see, that was the trouble to get these temperatures, you see, in my head right. Well, anyway, I said, I got you out for you. They had another plant in Davenport. You want to move, you'll get up there. Yep, so let it go. So they sent me up there, second man, up in that plant up there, see. And there was a Dane, he came from the old country, he used to like that, but he'd been there 5-6 years longer, and he was 5-6 years old, probably 10 years old, I don't remember. He was superintendent up there. And we got along fine. We had two churns, and there was just but one man cut the cab, but I took care of these two, I didn't know the churning there, see. We ran them, probably made 6 churns, you know, but we had two going all the time. And it so happened that there was a churn one on the head, you know, was a Disbo, and that was made in Sweden. Disbo churn. It was made down in London somewhere. I don't know what it was, but anyway, it was just the same mix, see. And that was the worst one to handle, but because it was older, you know, there was a different method, you know, churning. And then they had another one. Anyway, we get along with 2 pieces in the body, you know. He was a bachelor, like I was, see. And the guy in the office, the running, he was a retired manager up there, a brewery guy, you know, and he didn't know anything about butter or churning or anything like that, you see. And Elmer was his name, Elmer Hansen, and I, you know, we had to take care of him, you know, a little bit too, you know, in details, you know, he got in trouble sometimes, you know, about the different grades, you know, and when he complained and things like that, you know, and guiding the operations and stuff like that. So we were just like a 3-piece in the pot, you know, and I was happy to get in with these guys, you know. And I learned the English, you know, I learned the business and everything like that, you know. I don't know how many years I stayed up there. I'm thinking about 2 years, a year and a half, see. And get along good. We put out a heck of a lot of good butter. And we got out of several scrapes, you know, just by putting our head together, and he was good on refrigeration. And we even did a head mechanic there, you know. Him and I took care of the whole darn thing, you know. We had a lot of refrigeration, you know.
What was the name of the area?
Pioneer.
Pioneering Gillespie,
that's what it was, see. But in the meantime, they sold out. And I think Beatrice. Chicago, I think, bought them out. And they came down there, you know, and changed things around. We got so darn much business up there, and we're making so doggone good butter, so they switched a whole lot of business from Gillespie to us up there. See, I don't know, but if we could make it cheaper up there, I don't know what, see. We're going along fine. And we make starter, too. We bought those starter makers, see, and that helped things out, because they get this offer particular, see, to make that starter get the right flavor. And that's very, very tricky. And we all knew that.
You mean with the butter?
Yeah. The cream, then put the starter in, see, to flavor the cream, see. And anyway, they don't have that. They don't do that in this country, see. And we put out a brand up there, they called it Dutch. They had 2 Dutch girls. And eating a big sandwich and butter on something like that. That was a special brand that they put out down there, see. It was like a meatloaf, like a loaf of bread, about this long, with 2 pounds. And they rolled it up See, like you do a big sausage or something like this, see, with this long and this one out, and the head boxes that fit right in, you see, and put in the cooler, you see, and there was salt when they put it in, you see, boy, they was like they went through the biggest, funniest, and most complicated butter-making machine you ever did see. Well, anyway, they had about a dozen girls doing that. And we had some of the details on the thing, but we were selling to another company up there. And that's when oleo, you know, was a pound, was 10 cents a pound, see. And everything was against oleo at the time. They couldn't flavor it, and they couldn't color it, see, to imitate butter, see. Well, then there was a smart guy up there in a little milk place, you know. He went and got some butter from us, see. And then he had oleo, but he had no chun sitting there, small chun, had about a couple of 100 pounds. Small little hand, almost hand on one chun. Anyway, he bought some butter from us. In fact, it was second grade butter, to tell the truth, but that was not our first grade. And then he took it right home. He got in the morning, he had his oleo ready at home, I guess, already in China, and he went down and got a couple 100 pounds of our butter, see, and put that together, see.
With the oleo?
With the oleo, see. And then he put it in pounds, see, and sold it for butter. And it would have oleo in it, see. See?
What happened?
Well, the government caught him, right?
Well, they did?
Yeah, the state caught him, right? But it wasn't that important. Well, then he said, well, then he come down to see him. And he said, well, be a hook. He said, that's not my butter. I bought that butter from Pioneer Creamery down here, you know, 2nd Street. That's where we had our plant, right down by the river. Yeah, they come into the office down there, and this guy, of course, Manager, you know, he got all upset, you see. You know, we never had anything like that. He said that it's too pale anyway, because there was color, but they had to color the oleo too, you see. So the butter was a little light color, but it was natural in the wintertime anyway, see, because anybody get pale in the winter because they didn't have the grass. God, well, all there was some kind of uproar. And he come out to me, you know, to me, and Hanson, you know, my boss, and by God, I said, but the heck, they didn't be sold him butter that day, that's true. That day, you know, and I waited up to him, you know, a couple of, we had a 60-pound tub, you know, these days. I waited up to him, let him have it. This came from here, all right, but it sounds like anything, see? So what we do, we fooled around there to prove Elmer and I, we knew that he was, but we didn't know what the heck he was doing, what it came from, or what he done, see? And so we started getting into the laboratory where we were testing, you know. And we fooled around. We tried on the color, you know, we tried to take the color out, and we tried to put it back, and we couldn't get any sense out of it, see. So we run a straight fat test on it. Fat test. And see, we're supposed to have 80% butter fat. It's supposed to be in butter, 80%, see. Well, oleo also got fat, see? And we couldn't figure out how the devil we couldn't figure this thing out. So we split up the thing, I don't know how we done it. But anyway, we could see if we had one of these glasses, for Stuhling's glass, that in the test tube there was a little slight difference in the color of the fat, in the fat column, see. And we put it in the real tester, and lo and behold, he had about 40% oleo and 40% right butter fat, see. The butter fat was up to see, but there was vegetable fat, see. But we could see in there, see, that there was different in the fat when it got warmed up, you see. And boy.
So you nailed that guy good then?
Huh? Oh, we didn't nail him. They nailed him.
Well, they the government.
Because he kept it quiet himself. He didn't.
How could the government detect?
Well, they had. Yeah, they detected. They had big laboratories. You know, yeah. They do use a different method, I think. I don't know exactly what method they used on the testing the butter, but
So you were not liable then, in other words?
No, we were not liable. Seeing all the man there, and oh boy, he could have come out and kissed us. I think he took us out of a big old pole, but see, but that's hard to prove the way he done it. See, he was his son of a gun. He had a fat in the sea, but the two different butterflies.
So he had the oleo factory in Davenport?
No, he bought the oleo, see.
Oh, I see.
He bought the oleo.
That was just the store.
They came here. There was not much call for oleo those days.
So the people didn't like that?
No.
Margarine?
Margarine, that's right.
Well, they didn't eat that?
No. But now, they fool you now. Now they can color it, and now they can put the starter in, see.
Yes.
See, I told Elmer, I said, one time he wanted to go down to South Carolina, down there, in Georgia. Down in there and quit every once upon a time. And we had figured out you could take oleo and wash it in buttermilk. You could improve the flavor. There was nothing against that.
They could start it off there with regular buttermilk and then add later on, and it was not against the law.
No, there wasn't any against law. We didn't change the oil or anything.
No.
But they used to make the flavors.
They made the flavor.
Because they had the butter flavor. The butter flavor was in the bottom of it when we took it
up. So do they always do that with margarine?
No, I don't know. They do something nowadays. I don't know what they do.
Get the flavor.
But they changed a lot. They process it different because the fat used to be so brittle and hard, you know, that you couldn't do it with. And the heat come around it, you know, the metal right now. There used to be, you know, you could see oleo or smell it, you know, over across the table, you know. But nowadays, they imitate that something.
They know what
to... Oh, yeah. And there's the cholesterol deal, see.
The fat, see.
The women won't eat butter.
No.
Well, I even quit eating butter. I never thought for life. What do you... I tried to get a doctor told me if I could get your stomach down.
Do you think it has a lot of... validity, though? I mean, not to eat too much butter?
Well, there's fat in it.
There's fat in it?
That's high in cholesterol, yeah.
So you gotta be
But when you're, especially when you're young, you see, I never had trouble with a big stomach, you know, and I've never been a guy that's been healthier than I have, because I've been eating dairy products, my share, or then a half again as much, with butter and cheese and buttermilk and stuff like that, and milk. I eat that all the time, I still do.
So when you worked in the factory up in Cloquet, then you can eat any butter you want, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
No problem with the stomach.
No, not right. But so, you can, you see, you can take care of this high fat when you're young, see?
Yes.
When you get settled down and get up probably 20, 40 years old, you see, you can't assimilate right.
Then it adds to your weight.
It adds on to you somewhere.
So what happened now? How long did you marry then your wife? What's your wife's name?
My golly, you insisted. But anyway, no, Agnes is her name.
And
Agnes.
Agnes?
Yeah.
And the last name?
Reinald, naturally.
Yeah, Reinald, but I mean before she married. Nelson, Johnson?
No. Erickson.
My
God, I didn't forget that, yeah.
And she was from North Henderson?
Yeah, born in Ohio, in Henderson County.
Henderson, yeah. Well,
I'm not here.
You married then when you were out
no,
here?
No.
Yeah,
that's a long story.
Yeah.
I got a lot of, I'm skipping a lot of it. But anyway, yes. We were going to find it, and here comes a guy. There was another Dane, you know. He was a kind of a snappy fella, you know. He was like a black mustache, you know, and he was a bachelor too, you know. But arrogant as Sam Hill. And he was a Dane. And he was a stockholder in Beatrice Company, you see. That's a Pioneer sold out to Beatrice in Chicago, and that was a nationwide deal, and they still are, Beatrice.
That's a big one.
It's a big one, yeah. I think they had force in California, you know. Well, anyway, this guy, he came in, you know, and oh boy, did he make it tough for us, the superintendent and me, see. So I was on the churn, see. So he knew his butter business, all right, so he just knocked us off for making the starter. He was going to make it his own way, see. The starter, we had to make that every day. We bought 100 gallons a day of skim milk.
Well, you have to make it every day?
Yeah, if you are going to use it, see. Yeah, you have to do it, yeah. And you got to taste it and grate it every day. We make Strawberry probably have about 6 or 8 samples. See, that we set, see, that we have. That when it's ready to set, you know, we used to take a spoon and put it in a quart jar, see. And if that milk, the way we put that, that's the starter from the day before. Mm-hmm. And that's the best out of 6 that goes into to this next 6, see. So we grade it, so we put that the next day, and we grade it. But one the best out of 6. Well, anyway, that's set under a certain temperature to incubate to the next day, see. Well, then when we get that, we take the night before we churn, see. Out into that, we put in a, go ahead, probably put a quart in a 10-gallon can, something like that, see. Stir it up in the pasteurized milk. We cook that for 2 or 3 hours. This skim milk, that's all it is. We don't care for the fat in that. And then that sits, and probably we have 6 or 10 cans, 10-gallon cans, and we put a quart in each of it, see, from the other motor starter, that we call it, base starter, see. And so we have probably 6 cans of that sitting, and coagulate, see, overnight, see. The next morning, that thing is ready to go into that for the cream for the next day, see. So in the night, we put probably 10 gallons of this ready milk, like yogurt, that's what it looks like, pretty thick. Put that in each vat, each churning, see. And that sits overnight, see, and that thing is ready. They don't coagulate, we don't put that much in it, see. And we keep the temperature so they won't coagulate, see. Don't let the cream coagulate, see. But anyway, we regulate the acidity, see, or the heat. You see, we get just the right acidity overnight, see. And that's another thing you have to do by experience. Mm-hmm. And then that goes into the butter, see, and we make the butter out of it, see. Now that's what the buttermilk have all the bacteria and all the flavor and everything in it, see. Now that's what we use to mix with oil. Now that's my idea. But anyway, that's just neither here or there. But anyway, this guy came in. He was a stockholder, and he must have probably quite a bit of money in Beatrice Kirby. He came from Urbana. The west
north east, south of Chicago.
Yeah, in the eastern part of the state.
Champagne.
Yeah, and he came out. Really, he stirred things up there. And he started to get hard with me for a couple of times and embarrassed me there. And I went to the first guy in the morning. I opened up, see, because I had to have butter ready to take out by 8 o'clock when the rest of the crew came, especially the girls that were wrapping butter. So he'd be wrapped some of it right from the churn. Right into the cot. So, and anyway, he embarrassed me a couple of times there, you know, and got rough, see, and he was rushed with Elmer. Elmer didn't say a doggone thing there for first. He knocked him out of his job, you might say, you know. He just went in and took his job. And because we were doing the same thing, and we had good luck, and they get in and renovated the place, you know. We had really good reputation all the way around. They were doing fine, see. But he evidently had enough power to go out and knock Elmer out, see, in the plant, see, because he was stockholder. Well, for 3 weeks, a month probably, Elmer took it there, you see, and he was rough with me. I didn't think much about it, you know, even. So Elmer come and think about it and said, come, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to take this doggone crap. That was pulling out. I'm pulling out. And I know where I'm going. And where you going? He said, back every Monday morning, he said, back I'm going down to Kansas City, Missouri. In the American Butter Company down there. They had the biggest plant. There were 6-7 in Kansas City, but that was the biggest one. I said, back I him taking the superintendent job down there. And well, I say, Elmer, by golly, I wish I could go with you, I said. But by golly, if you find a job down there, by golly, that I can handle, I said, call me up. You know what I want. Mm-hmm. I told him, he said, if you find out something, say. Well, he left. And I was there, well, probably 3, 4, 5 weeks. He was getting rough of me, see, but he refused to. He wanted to knock out the manager too, this guy that came in, see. He never reports. I made out 200 reports and all the reports were what I was doing all day, you see. And that was went to the office there and then went to headquarters down in the Gaspo. And the manager came up and said, Conrad, he said, my God, he said, what the heck is going on, he said. That Eli was the guy's name. That so-and-so don't tell a thing what's going on out there. See, I was taking care of my job and I wasn't going to take an inventory and figuring up, you know, and I figured how much butter was going out of the jar, but I didn't know how much the butter put in this. See, we made butter for somebody else in their own carton, see. This and that. And she said, how can you help me out? He said, well, can you give me your reports? The reports I made up, by God, he didn't give me any. I said, I didn't know a thing. Never seen a guy like it. He's supposed to help out. He said, here, he's used to making things worse for all of us, see. And cream that was coming in, you know, and things like that. And he didn't get the reports. And he was out crying, see. Well, I'd never, anything I knew, you see, I reported into him and there, you see. Of course, he found out about it, I guess, that the man had come out and got the reports from me, you know. And so, I don't know whether he gave him any more reports or not, but anyway, I was getting sick and tired of it. And he corresponded with me, this guy, you know, Emma, down from Kansas City. So, what happened? But you don't want to, you don't?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Emma, see, down at Alma, Missouri, there was a little town, 300 people, all Germans. And they had started up brand new plant, built a little one, see, there was just a, well, they had a big ice machine, as big as the one is there, and they had a good-sized churner, bringing in all cream, see. And they had started up the year before down there, in the middle of summer. And a fellow came out of university in Missouri,
in Columbia,
and he was from Nebraska, I think. And I never saw the guy, but anyway, he got in there, and they opened it up, and they started coming, getting in a little cream. And I don't know what happened, but he went home at Christmas, see, and never come back. And he was supposed to be manager down there, see. And they were desperate, those farmers, it was 8, 9, men were aboard, so they got in a car, 2, 3 of them, and drove up Kansas City to all the plants up in Kansas City. I think they had 7 of them, I think, of the plants that were getting cream from the farmers, you know, and making it. See, the American Butter Company was right down by the depot. If you've been down there, the center of the depot, they was right across the street, across the square down there by the depot. And they struck Elmer. See, they tried to find a guy to come out and run the plant for him out there in town. They were 60 miles from Kansas City. So, got to see Elmer, see, and talk to him. And by he said, I used to know the guy, he said, and it was me. He'll take care of you, see. And so he wrote to me. He said, they were up a couple of times and wanted him to quit his job. They come out and run that plant for him, see, but too small for him. See, he was higher up. He was making more money, you know. He was a big-time guy, oh, you might say, see, and I was just too small for it, and he knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to stick around and get married, see. I wasn't married at the time, you know, and I wanted to get married, and he wanted me to quit up there, too, you see, and go down to Carolina. And of course, he doing Kansas City was just a stepping stone for him, see. And he wanted me to quit the bag, go with him down there and go into the oleo business, see. That's what we had figured out. Well, anyway, so he said, they'll come up and see you. Well, write to him. No, he said, they've been out there, they've seen me a couple of times. But he said, yeah, you know, he said, I got a good job here. He said, I think you can handle it, he said. So they're all good Germans, he said, immigrants. Most of them, you know, they were people who were, and it's right, that's what they were. Anyway, he gave me the address of the secretary, and I wrote him a letter. And I told him, what the score was, you know, and Alan had written, and I think they probably knew about it, that he would contact me. And I used to write 1 or 2 letters down there, and I said, I tell you, what I can do, I said, I think in the circumstances, what Elmer said, I think it's just up my alley, I said, and I can handle it. And And I said, oh, no, you write, let me know. I said I was a Lutheran. And of course, they were, I was a different Lutheran than they were, but anyway, it was Lutheran. And so they told me, the secretary wrote me back a letter. He said, we'll give you so much, he said, and this is community, so many people and things like that, and we want you to be complete charge. And we have a new plant, and we have so many customers. They didn't have more than probably 100 customers at the time. And we make so much butter and things like that. I didn't know much about that either. They didn't, but anyway. And they said, the job is open as quick as you can get there, see. That was a smack and win. And that, whatever. But they said, too, we'll hire you on these conditions. You said, on 1 month's notice, you come down here, and we like you for a month, you stay. Or if you come down here and you don't like us, you quit. So there was a 50-50 deal. I said, that's square. It's good enough. So I, right then I went out and signed off, see. I said, by golly, I'm quitting. I quit right then, see. So I could get out. And I didn't give a damn. I didn't wait till the week was up. To hell with it. I just walked out, see. And boy. Manity, you know, he come up and boy, he almost had tears in his eyes. But I said, Mr. Euler, I said, I can't help it. I said, by golly, I'm going to take it from that doggone blowed up teddy bear out there. And I didn't even tell him about it. The morning when I walked out and picked up my wooden shoes I had up there, you know, and my white clothes. Then he sat down. Oh, you'll find out, he said. There's a rottenest cream in the world that they have it in Missouri. He said, you can never make a piece of good butter down in Missouri. See, he discouraged me. He didn't dare say anything, but anyway. And the manager went in there, you know, he said, my girl, have you come? He said, have you had a vacation yesterday year? Full of the week? No, I said, I haven't, did you? By golly, he went down the road, got another check. For a week, pay him. But I got down there. I went down and stayed about a week, about a few days. It was beginning, it was right after Christmas, I think. It was on Christmas holidays. But I stayed over the holidays with my wife and her brothers. She had three dandy brothers, you know. But one was, he was a doctor, he was Augustana College.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he was in chemistry.
A brother to your wife?
Huh?
A brother to your wife?
Yeah, buddy, yeah, her old buddy, yeah. He was professing chemistry up there. He died several years, he caught cancer. Mm-hmm. He caught that from the fumes and things, you know, in the laboratories. He was testing everything. So. Well, anyway, he had three dandy brothers. Well, anyway, so I went down there on the train. I had an automobile and I left that up there. My brother was up there, he came while I was there. Up there, so he was working in another dairy up there, so I had an automobile, I let him take it over. So I just took a suitcase, you know, and went down to this case in Missouri. And I came in about 8 o'clock from Kansas City that morning, and the train stopped, and boy, these directors were down there, you see, meeting me at the train, cold as the devil that morning from Missouri. About 8 o'clock, we went down to the gun plant. Plant was just about half a block, see. Well, just across the street, I say, from the deep weight, and therefore we went down there, you know, and they stand there and they said, well, I'm glad to see you and something like that, and now we won't tell you what to do, just go ahead and do what you do, and if you need something, you want to do something, just let us know, you know, boy, they were all nice and dandy, see,
you see. They really needed you.
They needed me, you know, because they had bought it from the competitors around down there, you know, they'd been borrowing butter makers down there, you know, for when they had to get a churning of butter there, you know, for ever since the guy didn't come back there for 2-3 weeks down there. So they had a meeting, you know, the next thing, and we had a meeting. I got in on it, and I had supposed to have a base salary, see. Well, that they were pretty hard up. So I said, how about a commission? See, get so much for each pound of butter I make, see. So I cut down a few dollars, you know, on a base salary. I think I was getting 100. I don't know. It was somewhere between 100 and 150 a month. Because things were different those days. But that was back in 1928. And so they agreed to that. And I agreed too on that thing, the commission deal. I said, I'll go out and see the farmers. I said, I can bring the business in. Like, I'll go out and solicit and be their salesman, be their solicitor, you know, or, say, as long as I can, see, or something like that. See. And that's where I slipped up on them. It was not intensive. But I went out and got more damn business you could shake your stick at. And, because we had trouble. See, the guy that quit, he must have put some money in his pocket somewhere or another. Because farmers came in, you see, for 2 or 3 months. They said, by God, I bought in a can such and certain day, you know, and I can prove it, and I bought in 2 cans that month, you know, 3, and I never got any pay. See, we didn't pay cash. The plant kept the money a month before they paid the farmers.
Paid on the book then, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we had everything, you know, and we had the samples and tests and everything, but we didn't pay them a month back, see.
You had to trust each other.
Yeah.
Kassett 3, sida 2, fortsättning med Conrad Reinell, Minneapolis, Iowa. Kassett 3, sida 2.
You had to trust each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, they were doing business on the farmer's money, see, because we hadn't paid them, see. That's where they started out. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any working capital. It was a co-op, see. Not strictly co-op, but there was just the farmers that get together, you know, and set up their own rules. But anyway, I agreed to go out on my own time and cost, you know, gasoline and after supper, you know, after quitting time, you know, to see the farmers to get the business. And I got it, I tell you.
You got it.
And the commissions just started up with more than a salary, first thing, you know. So and you know, that was the biggest deal I ever had. I stayed there for 16 years.
16 years.
And they tried to get that plant out of business several times.
You mean the competitors or?
Yeah, competitors around, see. They were new. Well, and there was Germans all around within 20 miles there, before Cremo, you see. And it seemed, and we started up right in the middle. Well, we were close to Missouri River, see, we were farther north. We had a little bigger territory in
there. They were south of
Missouri River. No, this was 60 miles east of Kansas City.
Oh, east, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had a big company from Toledo, Ohio came in there. 20 miles from there, and they started a great big drying plant, and they were going to knock us out of business, see, and they were buying milk, see, and we were not fixed for buying milk, so I just took the bull by the horn. I went out and bought a cheese factory from a little waste there. They went out of business, bought the whole doggone thing to get them out of there, and took them cheese equipment back home and started making cheese, see, using milk, see. And they lasted 5 years. That there was a $2 million plant, I guess, and they had it close.
You took them by the horn?
Yeah, I took them by the horn. Yeah.
So you were a good salesman then, or buying in
yeah, I get that.
One farmer after another?
Yeah, see, the Germans, you know, most all around here, you know, to talk to them, you know, and they believed me.
Okay. That so got, what, you came right in the Depression, or you, a couple of years later? You came 28, you said?
I came where?
28.
Yeah, yeah. That was
and then you had the Depression.
Yeah, we got right into the Depression, see.
And no problem.
No, well, I can tell you how I solved that. There was the other four creameries, they had the same trouble, and we worked together. The first thing we did, we all competitors, but all German directors, anything. And I was new in there. And I said, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay the farmers what the creamers work for. And I changed it to pay them every 2 weeks, see, because there was no sense of holding that money. We started making a little money.
Were you able to get rid of this cheese and butter then?
Oh, yeah, I got rid of it, yeah, see. So, but we started first, get together, and we started hauling butter, shipping butter to New York. I got an outlet in New York for special butter. I don't know how they got a hold of it, but they come right down to me. And And that's probably thought of, that's probably, they've probably seen them. They were old cream, it's been going for 30, 40 years, see, and that was new. And I probably a little more open, I don't know, we'd do business with them, and they come up to me, you know, guys from out in the east, to make up this special bar, they call it hotel bars.
Slut på intervju med Conrad Arnell, Minneapolis, Iowa.